Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my good friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we turn to our colleague Ann Stevenson Yang, the author most recently of Wild Ride, a short history of the opening and closing of the Chinese economy. Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, we're hearing a lot of stories about how China's people are not feeling the prosperity that is suggested by their headline Q2 growth numbers. Beijing reported 5.2% GDP growth in the second quarter year on year, but China's people are not feeling the glow. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I think it's a misunderstanding of what GDP actually represents, Gordon, in all countries, but especially in China. So in China, GDP is not an analysis of existing economic situation, but instead a political target. So it is China will achieve 5% whether or not people feel good about it and experience growth. And the way they do that is by toggling investment, which is one of the three key portions of GDP, investment, net trade, and consumption. So they're not directly in control of the other things, but they're directly in control of investment by telling banks that they need to extend loans to this or that sector.
I heard a story about diamonds, Anne, and it was Financial Times, and it reminded me of the stories you've told about how cynical the Chinese economy can become. Artificial diamonds are now a rage among young people, I understand. Not costume jewelry, it's a genuine made-up diamond from high pressure and a formula that they have that China excels at. It's turning out an enormous amount of artificial diamonds, so much so it's flooding the markets. And De Beers, the diamond company for more than 100 years, is now up for sale because they can't make a profit anymore, in their opinion. Okay, that's how good China is. But here's what happened. They drove the price down so that it's now $7 a carat, $7 a carat for these gems that are very popular. Now, I heard that story and I thought, is that deflation? Is that what they've done? They've wrecked a business the way they wrecked solar panels, the way they're wrecking EVs. It's like a little machine that turns itself on and can't turn itself off. It's almost as if the Chinese have become the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You know the Mickey Mouse story where he uses a spell and he turns the bucket of water and the mop into working form, but it keeps reproducing itself? Is that the Chinese economy that you knew when you were there 10 years ago?
Well, that is true, but I think it's also not entirely fair. I mean, one of my favorite stories is Krakatoa, which my parents read to me when I was a kid, and it's about an island that has since disappeared by sinking into the sea that had thousands and thousands of baseball-sized diamonds, but the people on Krakatoa agreed that they would only sell a certain amount a year because they didn't want to ruin the market. So that's De Beers. De Beers really created the market for the sense of scarcity for diamonds and also the idea that a diamond expressed romantic love, which are both sort of, absurd ideas. when diamonds became very important in industry, then zircon was invented, and zircon was made internationally. Yes, China has taken it over, and that's a little bit of another story, but the replacement of diamonds with zircon is an international story of some age.
And China is aware of the fact that it drove the price down by flooding the market? That's part of their game plan?
Well, I don't think it's part of the game plan, but as I say, to drive this GDP target, you have to invest. And property is already a losing category. Infrastructure is really kind of maxed out. So all you have left is industry. And China already has an excess capacity of manufacturing capacity. So, but, you know, whatever, you got to invest if you're going to meet that growth target. So they invest in industry, and zircon is just one of those industries. So one of the effects of that is to drive down international prices.
Gordon, you have a question.
While we're talking about overcapacity, let's discuss the car industry, which is really important. China is flooding the world with its EVs. It has, I've heard, like more than 100 EV manufacturers, and the competition is intense. It's so intense that the market leader, BYD, is having profitability problems. Now, where does it go for the car industry in China? What are they going to do in terms of this intense competition?
Well, I think this is another of those boom-bust industries. Things have changed a little bit technologically for China over the last 5 to 10 years. However, it still maintains the fundamental shape of overinvestment, excessive debt, and overproduction. So BYD is emblematic of that. If you look at all the subsidies through the value chain, from the batteries through the car, it's just staggering, and it all adds to China's debt. So yes, BYD makes good cars, and yes, they export cars, but how sustainable is that? As China cracks under its debt burden, how much is that going to continue in the city of Shenzhen, which is host to BYD?
What we're looking at here, Anne, is China jumping from hot property to hot property. In media terms, that's chasing the shiny object. Is that the planning that's going on in Beijing? Not about sustaining a communication and interrelationships, but about going after the trend?
I mean, I think that's most political systems, and it certainly is China's political system, which is, and Xi Jinping is often talking about the high tech economy, which in fact is just a small part of the Chinese economy, but it's the shiny thing right now. So they're pouring investment into it.
And that is the nature of the Chinese Communist Party. It's also said to be, in general, the problem with central planning. It tells you to turn out shoes. It doesn't tell you to come up with different styles of shoes, just shoes. Is that what China's done? They're negotiating in the EU right now about China flooding the markets, and they're annoyed. They're not pleased at the BYD surplus that is available for sale in the EU.
They aren't, because the international trading system was premised on the idea of comparative advantage. So the idea is you export things that you particularly make, like, I don't know, like iron ore from Brazil or Australia, in order to create import demand. And ultimately, across different countries, the two things balance. So China really kind of messed up this formula by leaning into exports in order to enrich a very, very small minority of Communist Party members. And it created massive debt in the U.S. It didn't create it, but it certainly abetted it. And also massive surpluses in China, which kind of broke the international system.
Gordon, just 30 seconds. The Chinese Communist Party, is it learning at its failures in the past, or is it repeating itself again?
It's learning a little bit, but the problem is that it's not learning fast enough, because Xi Jinping has been able to keep the emphasis on industrial production, which Anne was talking about. They got a 15th five-year plan that starts next year. We'll see what they come up with in their document. It'll give us a hint of where they're going.
Anne Stephenson Yang, the book is Wild Ride, A Short History of the Opening and Closing of the Chinese Economy. Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.